Mute button, and then y'all can hear me now. Amen? And yes, ma'am. What I like to do tonight, and you know, the message tonight, I thought about many a times, and it has been quite a while since I had the opportunity to preach here in the church services, and I appreciate every opportunity that I've had, that pastor gives me opportunity to preach. And tonight, I've been wrestling for the last couple of months about what I would speak about as we begin. A new year is always something that I consider a challenge in my own life is what do I want God to do in my life this year that he didn't do last year? I want you all to think about that tonight. What did God do in your life last year? And think about what you want God to do in your life this year. I look back in my life and I believe that the message tonight would be appropriate for all of us is to realize what God is doing in our lives it's not sufficient for this year. What God did in my life last year is not suffice for this year. I want God to do something else in my life. Because if we're going to grow as Christians, we ought not be satisfied with where we are. Amen. And if we're going to take the theme that Pastor's been talking about this year, and the theme has been to stand, if we're going to stand for the Lord, there's going to be some troubles, there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some testings that are going to come in our lives.
Right.
But are we still going to stand?
Right.
And I believe tonight that I want to share something with you that I believe that we need to realize if we are going to stand. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 9. And this is going to be quite a little bit of an introduction, but I hope you'll follow along with me to understand where my heart is tonight. If you take your Bibles and stand with me to Romans chapter number 9, or Romans chapter number 8, I mean, Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to read one verse in Romans chapter number 8. And then I'm going to read a couple of verses in James chapter number 1. I want to tie these together and share some things with you that I believe that we need to realize if we're going to stand and then haven't done all to stand, there are some things that we need to realize in our lives that I believe that God wants to help us in this upcoming year. Romans chapter number 9, if you're there, I'm going to read verse number 28.
Amen.
And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose."
Amen.
And if we're going to stand this year for the Lord, we need to realize that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
And to them that are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And I want to just go over to James chapter 1, because if all things are going to work together, there's some things we need to realize that James is going to help us out with tonight as well. James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1, and we're going to pick out the verse here as we get to it that's going to be part of our text to help us to hang a few truths on this night to be a blessing to you. James chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." In other words, rejoice. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Father, again, we thank you so much for tonight. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. God, I thank you for the privilege to come before you and ask that you would just do a work in my heart. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. God, forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you want to say tonight to not only to me, Lord, but I pray you say it to your people, that we might leave here tonight again and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We praise you now and ask that you would just meet with us now for a brief time, that you might encourage us in this year that's before us, because last year won't suffice for what you want to do in our lives this coming year. I pray you're blessed now. Ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want you to think about it tonight. If we're going to stand for the Lord, I believe there's some things that we need to realize, that there's going to be some trials that's going to come in our lives this year. There were some trials that came in your life last year, and you're probably wondering, you know, can it get any worse? You know what? I pray that it won't get any worse, but your faith to get greater in trusting in the God of heaven.
Amen.
In this coming year.
Amen.
As I think about standing for the Lord, I believe that we need to realize if we're going to stand, well, no matter what we go through, we need to realize that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And not only does James tells us, and when we know that all things work together for good, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is going to work patience, and we need to let patience have her perfect work, and entire wanting nothing, that we ought to want nothing, but we ought to be maturing in our lives as Christians, because our faith is going to be tried this coming year. And if we're going to stand for God, our faith is going to be tried, but it's going to do a work in our lives. But we need to be patient, because I believe patience is one of the things that we need in our lives, because if we're patient, we'll learn how to trust God with the things that he's going to take us through. And as I began this past year to think about what God did in my life this year, me and Teresa and I came back this last quarter here, is almost coming to an end. We got a chance to work with our teenagers again, and we go back to discovering our destiny is the study that our teenagers has been looking at, and we've been studying, and we've indulged ourselves into this book again, and I'm so excited about what God is allowing me to share with them. I don't know if they're enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it. Amen. And I think about what we're asking and what we're sharing with them. And a lot of times when I work with the teenagers, I want the parents to know, what is it that Pastor White is sharing with our young people? I want the teachers, I want the parents to know, but I want the pastor to know what we're sharing with them as well. You know, when you entrust us with your children, that's one of the greatest privileges I feel like I have as a pastor, but also the greatest privilege that I have, that you're trusting me to impart some things into your children's lives that's going to be a blessing to them. And the more I look at what we're trying to share with them, the more I realize in my own life that I need to apply these same things that I'm trying to help them with in their Christian life. I want to just captivate some things for you to get you to understand where I'm coming from. First of all, I believe that we talked about it some months ago, that our young people are in a critical time in their lives where they're making decisions that's going to affect their lives for all eternity. And one of the things that we've been talking to them about is trusting the Lord. Learn how to trust God now, and you'll learn how to trust God in the future. But how does God work in us? A work that's going to help us to trust him not only today, but what does God use to help us to trust him in the future? I believe that God uses trials in their lives. God uses trials in your life to help you to be able to trust him just a little bit more each and every day. You should have trusted God last year within your life, but you know what? You need to trust God again, even more so in your life this year.
Right.
2016 brought some things in your life that 2017 won't bring in your life. Because we don't know what God has for you this year. But I know this, that you can trust him.
That's right.
Because all things do work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
You know, many people are confused about that verse. You know, you can't claim that verse if you don't know God.
That's right.
So you can't claim something from God and hold him accountable to it if you're not his child.
Right.
That verse has a condition on it when you think about what it's saying. The condition is, it says, for them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. I was reading in the commentary, and they said that Romans chapter number 8 is probably one of the greatest chapters in the book of Romans that's written in that book today. Because when he gets to this point, he wants to remind us in chapter number 8 that all things do work together for good. Because I believe they understood, will want us to understand, first of all, that we're sinners saved by the grace of God. And chapter number 8, verse 1 says, there's no condemnation now held against us who know Christ as Savior.
Amen.
And not only is there no condemnation held against us, but he tells us now about how the Spirit of God is going to work in our lives, so we have no obligation to the flesh.
That's right.
And we ought not serve the flesh, because we have no obligation to it, but our obligation is to the God of heaven who saved our soul and wants to do a work in us. And he's telling them in a lateral part of that chapter that there should be nothing that's going to separate us from the love of God. And if we would serve him the way that God wants us to serve him, nothing is going to separate us from the love of God.
Right.
But we need to realize that there's some things that's going to happen in our lives. And all of those things that happen in our lives are working together for our own good.
Right.
And we may not understand why. Those things are working together for our good. And I've been trying to help our young people to understand, if you're going to live for God, you got to learn how to trust him. And when God asks us to trust him, there are some things that's going to happen in your life this year that didn't happen last year, and you're going to think God doesn't know what he's doing. But you know what? He does know what he's doing.
Right.
He does know what he's doing. Because if he's working all things together for your good, he knows exactly what he's doing. Most of us are living out the lives that we have made so many mistakes before we got saved, and we're going to live the results of those decisions that we made.
Right.
Because of the decisions that we made, there's consequences for those choices that we made. What we're trying to get our young people to see, if they would learn how to trust God today, it might spare them from some of the problems that they're going to have in their lives.
That's right.
That's right.
As they get older.
Right.
See, you and I are living out those mistakes. And what we're trying to help them to do is not to make those same mistakes that you and I made. And if we're going to do that, we got to live by faith. We got to trust God. And we got to be examples to them of knowing the importance of trusting God. Well, that's a long way to get back to what we want to share tonight. But I want you to understand that. I believe this year that I got to trust God even more with what he wants to do in my life. And what I've been sharing with them is some truth that Dr. Smith has shared with them about the importance of faith. And I won't go through Hebrews chapter number 14 and all that we talked about, but I want to kind of get to the crux of what I want to share tonight. And we know all things work together for good. But when he talks about here, and we think about what he's talking about, if we want to realize what verse number 28 is talking about, and we won't go into all of this chapter tonight, but we're going to come back to the remaining of this chapter. But I want us to focus in on verse number 28. First of all, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the call according to his purpose. And you know, the calling here is telling us to realize that all things are working together for good. In order for us to realize that all things are working together for good, you know what it's going to take from you and I? It's going to take faith and trusting God to realize that all of those things are working together for good. Let me give you another definition of what he tells us about faith. And it doesn't slight a bit of all what faith is all about. We know what Hebrews says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
And the Bible tells us in verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we're going to please God and not please the flesh, then we got to please God by faith. And God chose faith to be the avenue that he works in our lives, is that we got to trust him by faith, because we don't want to serve the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that in my flesh, there is no good thing in my flesh. But he says this about faith. He says, faith is knowing in your heart that God is working all things together for good when you cannot see nothing but bad. God is working all things together for good when we can't see nothing but bad things that are going on in our lives. How many of y'all can look back to 2016 and think that all the things that were happening were bad in your life? All the things that happened in your life in 2016 weren't bad. I know it's Taquita, right? Taquita. One of the best things that ever happened in her life was she decided to come back to Shining Light Baptist Church. And she got saved. Her sons got saved.
Amen.
Their lives are going to be changed for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Taquita? Pardon me tonight. You have to learn how to trust God. We got to trust God. Because in my heart of hearts, he says here in this book, as he was saying, it refers to faith is knowing in your heart that God is working all things together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. So here we see, first of all, I want us to realize that the conditions of this control. God is in control of everything that goes on in your life. I want to say tonight here, I believe that James or Romans here, he's writing to us to realize that there is something that we need to anticipate, is that all things is working together for good to them that love God. But he gives us two conditions here. Love for the Lord is one of the greatest conditions that he's explicitating or showing us to hear tonight. The condition excludes so many people in our society because most people in our society don't love God. You can tell it by the way they speak. You can tell by the way they act. You can tell by what they say, how they behave. They have no love for God. So you can only say that everything's working together for good because you love God. And I pray tonight, because you're here, that you love God. It's not because of this loudmouth preacher from North Carolina, amen, that you're here. I hope it ain't just for the food. I pray that it's here because you love God. Amen. And because I see a lack of love for God, because look at the church tonight. How many people could be here tonight that are not here? You know, one of the sad testimonies in our world today is that people don't love God. Even Christians don't love God the way that they ought to. You want to know how you grow, and you want to know how you learn how to trust God? You learn how to trust God when you know what his word says about how you ought to behave. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to hear the word of God and have a desire for the word of God. You have to love God if you want to hear his word and it applies to your life. Because if you don't love God, you won't apply God's word to your life. It won't make any sense. And let me say this about faith. As I tell our young people, faith is trusting God when you don't understand why things are going the way that they are. That's what he's saying tonight to us. You know what? Faith is trusting God when what he asks you to do doesn't make any sense at all. I want you to think about it tonight. When you think about Noah and God told him to build an ark, you know what? People looked at Noah and thought he was crazy because nobody had ever seen it rain in their lives. But Noah built that ark because he was building it by faith, because that's what God told him to do. It didn't make any sense to anybody else but to Noah, because he believed God. And see, all things are working together for good. And it's because of Noah that you're here.
That's right.
Because God got rid of all that sin that was there in the present. And you're here tonight because Noah built the ark and he believed God. And you're here tonight because of the result of that. You think about Joseph and all that he went through. Joseph was in jail. And all of that he went through, Joseph said, "Y'all, my brothers, y'all meant it for bad. But God meant it for good, because God said you're going to save much people because of what Joseph went through in his life."
Amen.
And he went through it because he had faith in his God and he trusts God. I think about Peter. Peter did good when he got out on the water until he took his eyes off the Lord. And you do good in your life if you keep your eyes on God. But when you take your eyes off of God, you're not going to have a good Christian life in 2017. And we can pick many of the characters. I think about Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, but yet Paul still believed in God. And when he says, when it was all over, as Pastor mentioned this morning, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course."
That's right.
Because he knew what was laid up for him is a crown of righteousness, because of not for just him, but to all them that love God. So the condition here is for those that love God.
Amen.
And to them who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And the calling here is that it's only a condition to those who are letting God lead in their lives. You have to love him, and then you have to let him lead in your life. If God is not leading you in your life as a Christian, you're headed for destruction. As we share with our young people this morning, they're going to make some tremendous choices and some decisions in their lives. But the Bible tells us, and one of my favorite verse is, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Amen.
And lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Right.
God wants to lead. You know what? I think about it this way. It's like putting on a blindfold. And I thought about demonstrating it, but I won't. You know, you can put on a blindfold and turn somebody around and put it on them and ask them to go, and find their way out this building, how many of y'all think you could find your way out? Joshua, you find your way out? You've been here enough? I'm going to spin you around. You ain't going to know where you are. You ever had somebody spin you around and then tell you to do something and you fumbling all over the place and you have no idea where your directions are in life? But that's the way most of us live our lives. We got a blindfold on it because we don't want God to lead, but we want to lead. But you know what? You ought to just trust him to give you the directions to get you out of here. Because that's really what it means. It's surrendering your will to God and letting him lead. And you let go of the reins. Because he knows better in the direction. He knows where you need to go to get you where you need to be. Because again, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are to call according to his purpose. If you love him, let him lead in your life. And you stop trying to lead. You'll be on a better course. That's introduction, amen. Y'all ready to eat, right? So just think about it. He lays out the conditions here because the conditions are important. So then he goes on. Let's go back to the verse and it says, and we know. What do we know? We know all things work together for good. I want us to turn over to James because I see here the anticipation here is that we need to anticipate that all things do work together for good to them that love God. And the anticipation now is this, what James has to say. Because if all things work together for good to them that love God, there's some other things that's going to happen in our lives. Right. Notice what James had to say. Because we know they're working together, notice what he says here. My brethren, we're going to look at verse number 2. And we're going to key in on verse number 3. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Look, knowing this, that all things work together, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God wants to try our faith. But you know what? Most of us are a little bit skeptical about this because we can't have joy in our lives when things aren't going the way that we think they ought to go. But James says, greeting, my brother. What he's saying, really, you know what? Rejoice. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is going to work patience. God wants to exercise your faith. And he does it by asking you to trust him. So again, it goes back to this. We have to be relying on the fact that God knows what he's doing.
That's right.
And we need to rejoice in it. But you know, one of the hardest things for us to do is find joy in the trials and the testings that we go through.
That's right.
But you know what we want to be like? We want to be like the nation of Israel, murmur and complain.
Amen.
Wow. You know, when I thought about this, I thought about Miss White this coming year. She was talking about inventory. And she wasn't looking forward to it. But you know, one of the things I realized that I saw her do was the attitude that she had towards facing the inventory. See, we got to have the right attitude when it comes to facing trials. Because we have to believe that we know that God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
That's right.
He knows exactly what you need in your life to get you to be what he wants you to be. So when we go back to Romans and we think about what Romans and the context and what it was written in, most people get it all wrong and bollyfoxed up when he says that they were predestined. He's not talking about heaven and the predestination of heaven. The predestination is that you'll be like Christ. And it's very simple to figure it out. Most people are confused with that verse. We're predestined to be like Christ. And how are we going to get like that? It's through the trials
right.
that God takes us through. That's the only way you can get to be what God wants you to be. God doesn't want us to be like we were before we got saved. God wants us to be like who he is, and the son that died for him, died for you, he wants you to be like him. He don't want you to be like the world in which we live, because God wants to use you and the trials and the testings and the troubles that come in your life. God wants you to be an example of a holy God before a lost and dying world. And the only way that he can get you that way is to purify you from that old sinful nature that you have within you. As Paul was writing in chapter 7 that he was warring against in his life. And he said, the things that I want to do, I can't do, but I know what I ought to do, but I'm struggling. And let me say to you, Christian, there's things that you know that you ought to do, that you want to do, that you don't do, but you know that you need to do. And y'all keep up with the do, you'll get there, amen. And understand what I'm saying is because that old nature is going to rear his head. And God needs to purify you. And the way that he does it is through the trials that he's going to take you through. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we have to rely on the God of heaven that he knows exactly what he's doing. And he's going to get the right results if we rely on him. So the reliance here is on him. And we ought to take pleasure in the trials that God has taken us to. And it's not an easy thing to do. Therefore, we need much faith in the God and reliance upon God's promises of the blessings that come through the trials and the testings that he's going to take us through. And the reverence that we ought to have, and the reliance that we have, and the reverence that we ought to have, and the pleasures that God is going to take us through, we ought to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Rejoicing in our troubles, honor God by showing reverence to God in his wisdom that he knows what he's doing. Because when we don't, we murmur and we complain, you're really saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. And like I was telling to the young people, you and I sit here in this building, and I use it for them sitting in the other building. You have no idea of what's going on outside of this building. But you know who does? God does. And it's the same way in your life. God knows what's down the road for you. You have no idea what it is. I look at it this way as I was sharing to share with them this morning. Who would you rather trust, yourself or trust the God that knows the beginning, the middle, and the end?
That's right.
Most of us sit here, we'd rather trust God, okay? Then show him that you would trust him, because he does know what's best for you. He knows what's going on.
Right.
So we have to rely on him and reverence him, because he does know what he's doing. That's the key. Knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But notice not only we see the pleasure here, but notice the particulars that are here. He says, and in verse number two, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when? When you fall into diverse temptation. In other words, they're diverse, but he's saying that we need to count the problems or the diverse temptations. The problems are listed as being plural. They're not going to be just one happening and done. They're going to continue to happen in our lives.
Right.
It's almost like sometimes you say, look, like one minute you think things are getting better, and bam, next minute things are getting even worse. Just like it happened in Job's life. Well, what I like about Job, had the right attitude. Job said, I brought nothing into this world, and it's certain I can take nothing out.
Right.
And his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Mm-hmm. Job said, I'm not going to do that. Because he realized he didn't bring anything into this world. And he can't take anything out. And what you need to find in your life this day and throughout this year, you need to claim God's promises and hold on to his promises. It's going to help you through this coming year.
Yes,
it will. And you'll only find it in his word. And as his word that you find it in, that you can trust his word, because you can trust the God of the word.
Amen.
Of God. That's going to help you through what you're going to go through this coming year. I'm resting my hat on Proverbs 3:15, 3:5, and 6. That's one of my favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He's going to direct in my path, and I need to trust him. What about you tonight? Are you going to trust him? Are you going to rely on yourself? He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going to go through. And he wants you to trust him, even when you don't understand why they're happening the way that they do. Job didn't understand either, but you know what? He understood that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Because it's going to build some character in your life. So you can count the problems. They're going to come. And oftentimes there'll be one right behind another. But you know what? You can count them all joy if you have the right attitude. And they are going to come because they're going to build some character. And the character that God wants to build in your life, when you think about the word temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Verse 2, the temptations. Think about temptation this way. Temptations mean either good or they can be bad. They're good when they're temptations that come from God, because the word temptation there is not used in reference to God as being something bad. The reference there to God is that it's a test that God gives you. And the test is to prove you of the impurities that you have in your life. Amen. It's like this. How many of y'all been to school? All of us have been to school at some time in our lives. You know, the teacher don't give you a passing grade till you done what? Till you pass the test. You know what? God works on the same principle. If you don't pass the trials and the tests that he's taken you through last year, or even today or tomorrow, you know what? The tests don't end. You may have to start over again. Because he has a purpose in what he's doing. Your teacher has a purpose in what she's doing when she gives you the test to see how much you have retained. God gives you the test to see how much you trust him. Amen. See, that's how God works. But when the testing comes that the devil brings, the testing that he comes, he wants to like Pastor, he wants to pull you away from the will of God. Right. He doesn't want you to be in God's will. He wants to deceive you and luring you away from the will of God and the purpose that God has for you in your life, because that's what he does. He did it in the beginning with Eve, and he's doing it in Christians' lives today, because that's what he does. See, God will never test you or tempt you or test you above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The devil wants to draw you away. Look at what it says down here in James chapter number 1. He says, blessed in verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for he, when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, a crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. But he says this, but let no man, verse 13, say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, because that's what comes from the devil. He wants to draw you away. And it's after your own lust that he will bring in your presence something that he knows that'll get to you. Because he knows what it is. And that's what he brings in your life. The temptations that he brings. God doesn't bring it that way. Because he's working all things together for our good. The devil wants to destroy you with that which he has you to take you through. And it's certain, he's saying here, it's certain that the problems are going to come. The word trying simply means testing, which is to define what temptation in this text is talking about. The trying of your faith, the test that God wants to take you through, the troubles from the Lord to test our faith is to improve it, to improve our faith in him. The devil wants a solicitation to evil and to defile us so that he can defeat us. And we'll be of no good to God. But I want you to notice not only the pleasure, the promise that we see, but notice the purpose. The trying of your faith worketh patience in verse 3. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Our God sent troubles and trials are not without a purpose in our life. God has a blessed purpose for every experience that he takes us through. He has a purpose in mind of what he's doing. You may lose a loved one this year and may ask him, why would God do that? You may get some financial problems this year and you ask, why would God do that? You may have some problems with your foes this year and you ask, why would God do that? You may have some problems in your family this year and you ask, why would God do that? Why would God do that? Because he knows what he's doing. Amen. And he wants you to trust him. Whether it be financially, whether it be with your foes, whether it be with family, God still wants you to trust him. And God wants you to have a testimony of him working in your life that will be different than what the world sees and how the world handles the trials that they go through. God wants you to show forth the joy in your life as a Christian because you're trusting the God of heaven because he knows what he's doing in my life. He knows what he's doing. And I tell you what, it has helped me through so many times. But there's been so many other times that I failed because I didn't count it all joy.
Amen.
I wanted to gripe and complain just like my coworkers. I wanted to be just like my family sometime and complain about what God is doing. And when we do that, we're really telling the world God doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But in reality, he knows exactly what he's doing because you haven't passed the test.
That's right.
So he's going to bring something else in your life to get you to where he wants you to be because he knows what he wants to do. God wants us to be holy because he is holy.
Amen.
God wants us to live in light of the dark world in which we live that are trusting in themselves. God wants a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that would trust him and be a testimony in this lost and dying world in which we live in. You know what? We can complain about Donald Trump. We could complain about Obama. We could complain about Hillary Clinton. But you know what? It's time for us as Christians to take some responsibility for what God has called us to do.
Amen.
And leave all the rest to him. Because he still wants us to be a testimony. God still wants us to stand.
Amen.
God wants us to be able to stand.
That's right.
He wants us to be able to withstand. God wants us to having done all to stand, therefore stand. Even in the trials that we're going to go through. Even in the testings that we're going to go through, God wants to be honored and God wants to be glorified because he's a jealous God. And he will share his property and his children, not with the devil. Because if you don't want to live for God the way that he wants you to, then you may go through some struggles and trials in your life that you're bringing because of your disobedience to God. And you can get to the point where you don't want to serve God. He might just take you home. Because you know what? It's a whole lot easier to look up when we're on our back because we can't get up. That may happen too.
Amen.
And I've seen many of people you visit in the hospital tell you, preacher, I can't wait. I'm going to do this for God and I'm going to do this for God and I'm going to do that for God. And get out and you can't find them with the FBI, the CIA. And we ain't going to send the Baptist ushers to go look for them. Amen? Because that's not what God has called us to do. But you think about it tonight. are you going to trust God? Because Paul said he's finished his course. And God is going to reward us for our faithfulness in trusting him. When I get to heaven, there's going to be some rewards. I can't take anything in this world with me except lost souls that I win to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I will be faithful to witnessing and telling people about the goodness of God, whether it be with the word of God or whether it be with my life, that I'm surrendering to God because he knows what he's doing. And let me say three things, and we're going to end tonight. I know y'all ready to eat. I ain't hungry. I've been waiting to preach for 3 months now. Just kidding. There's three things I want you to remember this coming year. Let me get here to the end of it so I won't forget it and make sure I give it to you straight. Because I believe what's going to happen, because suffering is going to come. And in tiring, he wants us to be patience is the end result. Because when we learn how to be patient, we'll learn how to trust God, because we won't get ahead of God. See, when we don't learn how to be patient, we get ahead of God and think we'll do it ourselves, because we're more prone to do it ourselves because we think we know what we're doing. But the end result is patience. Let patience have her perfect work so you can be mature and learn how to trust God. Let me say this, and I want to challenge you with this year. Expect your future 2017 will hold many unknowns. It's going to hold some unknowns, but you can trust God. Expect that God will deliberately not make sense to you. Some of the things we're going to go through this year won't make sense to you, but you can still trust him. Because all of these people in the past, when I think about many men and women that trusted God throughout their lives, I think about Joseph, I think about Paul, I think about Peter, I think about Noah, I think about the three Hebrew boys. What God was asking them to do didn't make much sense. Ain't many of us going to be willing to get into the fiery fire and trust God. And I like what the Hebrew boy says. You know what? We're not going to bow down. And we don't know if our God is going to deliver us, but we know that he is able. If it's his desire, God can deliver you from the fiery furnace. Amen. Expect him to bring you into impossible situations where your faith can be tested, expressed, and enlarged, because God wants to continue to build your faith, where you can express your faith and trust in him, and it's going to be enlarged. Expect your future to hold many unknowns. Expect God to deliberately not make sense to you. Expect him to bring you into impossible situations where your faith can be tested or can be expressed or enlarged. 1 Peter 5:4 says this, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. James 1:12 says this, as we read already, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen? Amen. And that promise is only good to those that know him. It's only good to them that trust him. It's only good to them that allow God to work in their life. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let him work in your life this year. Trust him, and it's going to have to be by faith, not by sight.
Right.
If we could see the end, we probably wouldn't trust God. And most of us, if God revealed to you what you're going to face this year, most of you wouldn't go out the door.
Amen.
Amen. But you can go out the door tonight knowing that the God of heaven, you can trust him with whatever it is that you got a faith, because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise from God. And when you know the promises, you can trust the God of the promises. Amen.
Amen.
All things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. What a tremendous God that we serve. How about you this year? Are you going to trust him? He's going to help you to be able to stand. Put on the whole armor of God. Preacher been preaching that message, amen? James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Father, again, thank you for tonight. God, how we thank you for your blessed word. God, how I thank you for the privilege that we have to be here tonight. Father, what a tremendous thought is to know that you're working all things together for good to them that love you and to them that are called according to your purpose. Let me just say this here tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never done the most important thing that you could ever do. First of all, you can't trust him through the trials until you trusted him with your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ as Savior. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to beg you to make any decision, but I want to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you know in your heart of hearts that you don't know Christ as Savior, in other words, if you're not 100% sure if you'd die tonight that you would go to heaven, would you just raise your hand and let me pray for you tonight? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to try to put you on the spot, but I do want to pray for you. Anyone here like that tonight would raise their hand and say, Pastor White, I'm not 100% sure if I die, I go to heaven. Anyone here like that tonight? Anyone? If you just slip up your hand, I just want to pray for you if you're not sure. What a way to start off this year. Amen, I see that hand. What a way to start off this year is to trust God with your life. You've done all you can to try to hold it all together. Well, why not just give it to him? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you could be saved. What a tremendous thought. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be baptized. You know, we had a baptism this morning. And you know, one of the first things that you could do is just be obedient to God and get baptized and follow him in believer's baptism. Identify with him. Maybe you need to do that tonight and become a part of this local New Testament church. Maybe you're not a member of a church somewhere. You can do that tonight as well. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for that one that raised his hand or raised their hand. Father, thank you again for tonight. I do pray for this person, this young man that raised his hand. And God, how I pray, when the music begins to play, that you give them just what they need to come forth and let someone take a Bible and show them how they could be saved. I'm not going to go to them, not going to embarrass, not going to point them out because I made them a promise. And I'm due praying that you would work in that life tonight, that they might come to know that truth. And Lord, I want to pray for the Christians tonight that we're going to face some trials. We're going to face some troubles. But I pray that our faith would be expressed, it would be enlarged, because we're trusting the God of heaven. Bless now, I pray, as Natasha begins to play the hymn of invitation. Let's all stand on our feet. You know, as the music begins to play, heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you want tonight, let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You come. And let someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and, you know, we all need to learn how to trust God this upcoming year. Maybe God wants to do a work in your life. You know, all things do work together for good to them that love God. You love him enough tonight to trust him. Not only should we love him, but we should let him lead in our lives. Let go of the reins. Let him have his way. Trust him with your life. I've decided to do that this year. And you said, well, Pastor White, aren't you letting him lead? You know what? All of us would be guilty of trying to do things on our own. I just want to be challenged tonight, just like you, to continue to trust him because he's a God that can be trusted. I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't need to do in my own life. Paul is not asking us to do anything that he didn't do in his life. Our Savior is not asking us to do anything that he didn't demonstrate by trusting his Father and loving his Father to come to a lost and dying world to die for your sin and for mine, because he wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. What about you tonight? Knowing all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close as he sees fit.
Amen. That's a fitting message for a brand new year.